Punjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha, Jaya Giridhara Dhari, Jaya Giridhara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha, Jaya Giridhara Dhari, Jaya Giridhara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana, Yamuna Tira Bana Chahari, Yamuna Tira Bana Chahari, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunjabi Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada. Jaya
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shri Vasadi Gaurabhaktavrinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayat Nashta Praishua Padreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto Narayan Rishi, the Supermost Human, unto Mother Saraswati, the Goddess of Learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the Author. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is destroyed almost to nil, and loving devotional service unto the Supreme Person, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Requesting the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, and especially the senior Vaishnavas who may be listening. I hope that I can say something helpful just for today. We are in first canto, 8th chapter, which is called Prayers of Queen Kunti and Parikshit Saved. And today we are doing Ashloka 46. Yasadyar Ishware Hagyai Krishna Nadbhuta Karmana Abodito Piti Hasai Nabudyata Shuchar Pitaha Yasadyar Ishware Hagyai Krishna Nadbhuta Karmana Prabodhito Piti Hasar Nabudyata Shuchar Pitaha Prabhus Yasadya Ishwari Havyai Krishna Bhuta Karmana Prabodhito Pitihasar Nabudyata Sucharpitaha
Vesavabde Issare Agne
Vyasadya Ishwari Krishna Bhuta Karmana Abodhito Piti Hasai
Na Abodheta Sucharpita
Abodhyata Sucharpita
Vyasadhyaya Ishvare Hagyai
Vyasadhyaya Ishvare Hagyai
Krishna Bhuta Karmana
Krishna Bhuta Karmana
Abodhito Piti Hasai
Abodhito Piti Hasai Krishna Bhuta Karmana Abodhito Piti Hasai
Abhudyata Shuchapitaha Krishna Bhuta Kamala Bodhito Piti Vasar Abhudyata Shuchapitaha.
Synonyms: Vyasa Adhyay, by great sages headed by Vyas, Ishvara, the Almighty God. Iha, by the will of Gyai. Gnyai, by the learned. Krishnena, by Krishna himself. Adbhuta Karmana, by one who performs all superhuman work. Prabodhita, being solaced. Api, although. Itahase, by evidences from the histories. Na, not. Abhudyata, satisfied. Shucha Arpita, distressed. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. King Yudhishthira, who was very much aggrieved, could not be convinced, despite instructions by great sages headed by Vyas and the Lord Krishna himself, the performer of superhuman feats, and despite all historical evidence. I'll just read it one more time. So here King Yudhishthira is lamenting about all the soldiers and people that were killed on the Battle of Kurukshetra. So he's lamenting like an ordinary, like a common man. King Yudhishthira, who was very much aggrieved, could not be convinced, despite instructions by great sages, headed by Vyas and the Lord Krishna himself, the performer of superhuman feats, and despite all historical evidence. So before I read the purport, maybe, I don't know, did the deities require fans? Because it's a little bit chilly today and the fans are on for them, so I don't know if they should be... The fans are on in there, on the altar. So probably they should be turned off. Thank you. Thank you. Purport: the pious King Yudhishthira was mortified because of the mass massacre of human beings in the Battle of Kurukshetra, especially on his account. So King Yudhishthira is mortified because of the mass massacre at Kurukshetra. Duryodhan, who was there on the throne, and he was doing well in his administration, and in one sense there was no need for fighting. But on the principle of justice, Yudhishthira was to replace him. The whole clique of politics centered around this point, and all the kings and residents of the whole world became involved in this fight between the rival brothers. Lord Krishna was also there on the side of King Yudhishthira. It is said in the Mahabharata Adiparva that 640 million men were killed in 18 days. So 640 million men were killed in 18 days of the Battle of Kurukshetra, and some hundreds of thousands were missing. Practically, this was the greatest battle in the world within 5,000 years. This mass killing simply to enthrone Maharaj Yudhishthira was too mortifying. So he tried to be convinced with evidences from histories by great sages like Vyas and the Lord himself that the fight was just because the cause was just. But Maharaj Yudhishthira would not be satisfied, even though he was instructed by the greatest personalities. Thank you. Of the time, Krishna is designated herein as the performer of superhuman actions, but in this particular instance, neither he nor Vyas could convince King Yudhishthira. Does it mean that he failed to be a superhuman actor? No, certainly not. The interpretation is that the Lord is Ishvara, or the Supersoul, in the hearts of both King Yudhishthira and Vyas, performed still more superhuman action because the Lord desired it. I'll read that one more time. The interpretation is that the Lord is Ishvara, or the Supersoul, in the hearts of both King Yudhishthira and Vyas, performed still more superhuman action because the Lord desired it. As Supersoul of King Yudhishthira, he did not allow the king to be convinced by the words of Vyas and others, including himself, because he desired that the king hear instructions from the dying Bhishma Dev, who was another great devotee of the Lord. The Lord wanted that at the last stage of his material existence, the great warrior Bhishma Dev see him personally and see his beloved grandchildren, King Yudhishthira, etc., now situated on the throne, and thus pass away very peacefully. Bhishmadeva was not at all satisfied to fight against the Pandavas, who were his beloved fatherless grandchildren. But the Kshatriyas are also very stern people, and therefore he was obliged to take the side of Duryodhan, because he was maintained at the expense of Duryodhan. Besides this, the Lord also desired that King Yudhishthira be pacified by the words of Bhishmadeva, so that the world could see that Bhishmadeva excelled all in knowledge, including the Lord himself. So Krishna desired that King Yudhishthira be pacified by the words of Bhishmadeva, so that the world could see that Bhishmadeva excelled all in knowledge, including the Lord himself. Omagyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Umlatamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So here we see how Maharaj Yudhishthira is apparently acting like a common man, and Krishna, through Krishna's desire and through Krishna's arrangement, he is acting like a common man in that he is lamenting the massacre that happened at the Battle of Kurukshetra, and it was seemingly because of him. So in the purport, Prabhupada states that this was the greatest battle in the world of 5,000 years, and that 640 million men were killed in 18 days. So that's a really large number. If you have no concept of 640 million men, I can give you a little context. In modern history, the greatest war in terms of casualties was considered World War II. And in that battle, 85 million died. 85 million, World War II, and at Kurukshetra, 640 million. Just to give you a little perspective. So mundanely, we can understand how Yudhishthira was aggrieved. Certainly, we would be aggrieved. And in Dhruva Maharaj Prabhu's class, he was saying how we can imagine the aftermath, the Battle of Kurukshetra, what the scene was like and the battlefield, how horrible it was. And Dhruva Maharaj Prabhu said, you can imagine like the smell and the sight. And, you know, the decay and everything. So we can imagine how it must have been absolutely horrifying, right? So mundanely, we can certainly understand how Maharaj Yudhishthira might be aggrieved. If any of you have had any, you know, experience with war or have seen images or films, you know, we can understand that it certainly is horrifying. I'll just give a couple of quick, like, mundane examples. Napoleon Bonaparte, he was regarded as the greatest military commander in history, and his wars and campaigns are still studied at schools today, at military schools. Right? He was considered a military genius, and some historians call him the most competent human being who ever lived, Napoleon. And he was really short, or relatively short. And he had some, you know, so this greatest military general in modern history, obviously we're not referring to, 5,000 years ago in recorded modern history, mundane history. So he had a few quotes about, like, the horrors of war. And one thing he said was, you know, how beautiful, it's so beautiful in the beginning, right? And if you ever saw films or images of wars fought back in the, 200 years ago, 300 years ago, he fought Napoleonic Wars at the beginning of the 19th century, 1803 to 1815. The Napoleonic Wars went on for 12 years in Europe. And so he said, it's so beautiful in the beginning. If you saw how they fought, you know, on a field. Soldiers fought on a field, and they sort of, like, faced each other. It's not like warfare today, and they had very nice, you know, patriotic uniforms, and there was, like, music and drums and bugles, and the generals were up on the hill. You know, everything was very sort of dignified and beautiful. So he said, it's so beautiful in the beginning. And then at the end, if you've ever seen films or images, right, it's just like the total opposite of beautiful, and it's just like a total disaster. So Napoleon said, the battlefield is a scene of constant chaos. The winner will be the one who controls that chaos, both his own and the enemy's. War is the business of barbarians. War must be made as intense and awful as possible in order to make it short and thus to diminish its horrors. Right? So Napoleon said those things. So again, from a common mundane perspective, we can certainly understand how Maharaj might be aggrieved upon seeing this scene of horror after the war, which, you know, seemingly was because of him. So tomorrow in the next shloka, we'll hear how, you know, Yudhishthir should have known, he should have had higher, and he did, you know, this was all Krishna's leela. Yudhishthir knows that a kshatriya is bound to fight for the right cause, regardless of the opposite party. Right, in such a discharge of duty, one should not be disturbed by annihilation of the material body, which is only an external dress of the soul. All this was perfectly known to Maharaj Yudhishthir, but by the will of the Lord, he became just a common man. So we'll hear that shloka tomorrow. So by the will of the Lord, he became just like a common man. Right? So it's some kind of leela that Krishna is trying to bring forward here to make an exalted, you know, devotee, not ordinary, act like an ordinary man. And we'll hear later on in the chapter, King Yudhishthir will lament when he sees the aftermath of the battlefield. Oh, my lot, I am the most sinful man. Just see my heart, which is full of ignorance. This body, which is ultimately meant for others, has killed many, many phalanxes of men. I have killed many boys, brahmanas, well-wishers, friends, parents, preceptors, and brothers. Though I live millions of years, I will not be relieved from the hell that awaits me for all these sins. There is no sin for a king who kills for the right cause, who is engaged in maintaining his citizens, but this injunction is not applicable to me. Maharaj Yudhishthir, as the most pious king of the world, takes for himself the responsibility for killing such a huge number of living beings, because the battle was fought to reinstate him on the throne. Battle of Kurukshetra was actually fought by the will of the Supreme Lord Krishna, and only by his will was Yudhishthir placed on the throne of Hastinapur. Therefore, factually, no sin whatsoever touched the Pandavas, who were only the order carriers of the Lord, right? So only by his will, Yudhishthir was placed on a throne. And factually, there was no sin whatsoever to touch Yudhishthir and the Pandavas, who were only order carriers of the Lord. For others who declare war out of personal interest, the whole responsibility lies on them, right? For those who declare war out of personal interest, the whole responsibility, they will take the sinful reactions for that. So we can imagine what the fate might be of people like Napoleon or Hitler or Stalin, others. Right? They bear the karma for those wars. But this was not the case here. Now, Krishna, this was Krishna's war, you know, in order to carry out his desire of establishing a kingdom of virtue, the war had to be fought. So this was not an ordinary war. But for some reason, for some leela, he is here making it seem like Maharaj Yudhishthir is bewildered just like a common man. So in the purport, it said that as super soul of King Yudhishthir, he did not allow the king to be convinced by the words of Vyasa and others, including himself, because he desired that the king hear instructions from the dying Bhishma Dev, right? So here is the leela. Here is why Yudhishthir is apparently aggrieved and acting like a common man. As super soul of King Yudhishthir, Krishna did not allow the king to be convinced by the words of Yas and others, including himself, because he desired that the king hear instructions from the dying Bhishma Dev. Right? And that we will hear in the next chapter of the instructions that Bhishma Dev lying on a bed of arrows will impart to Yudhishthira. So this was the Lord's desire. And as we know, he can influence the heart of the devotees to act in a certain way in order to carry out his lila. Bhagavad Gita 15:15, I am seated in everyone's heart, and for me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. I am seated in everyone's heart, and for me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto mata smritir gyanam apohanam cha. So some special lila is happening here, and Krishna is influencing the heart of Yudhishthira and also Vyas, who was trying to pacify Yudhishthira, but it was to no avail. In his class, Ashesha Prabhu made a statement about how the spiritual energy, when it's acting, it's something, it brings forward something which may seem materially unlikely, right? Like, for example, Shesha Prabhu gave the example of Prabhupada coming to the United States at an advanced age with no money, no resources. He didn't know anybody in the United States. He had no support network in India. Yet somehow he was able to come to the United States, you know, sail on a boat for about a month, I believe, have two heart attacks on the boat. Nothing, no money, no resources. He was able to come here and, you know, create ISKCON and everything that he did. So, you know, Shesha Prabhu said, this is materially unlikely, but it is likely because Krishna desired it, and therefore Krishna brought it to fruition, and it was a special lila happening. So similarly here, Krishna desired that Yudhishthira hear from the dying Bhishma Dev. So there's other examples in the Bhagavatam of how a great devotee is seemingly acting in a common way, and this is by Krishna's desire and to bring about a lila. I'm thinking of one specific example, if anybody would like to say or bring up any example of how a exalted devotee is acting in a common way by Krishna's desire to bring about some lila. Can anybody think of anything? Madhumati? Yes, that was the one I'll speak about. I also had that one. Is there any others that anyone can think of?
Dhruva?
Yes.
He gets angry and he starts to fight with the yakshas.
Right. Thank you. Any others? Okay, so Madhumati Prabhu brought up the example of Maharaj Parikshit, which that was the one that also came to my mind. A great soul, great Rajarshi, he conquered the whole world. He subdued Kali, obviously not an ordinary person, not an ordinary devotee. And then when he was seemingly offended by Shamika Rishi, right, he acted like a very common man. He came in from his hunt. He was hungry and thirsty and tired, and he came into the hut of Shamika Rishi, who was a sage and a brahmana, and he was meditating. And apparently he did not get up and offer Maharaj Parikshit due respect and hospitality, and Maharaj Parikshit got angry, right? And he found a dead snake, and he threw a dead snake on the meditating sage. And Prabhupada says, for a king like Maharaj Parikshit to become angry and envious, especially at a sage and a brahmana, was undoubtedly unprecedented. But in this case, Maharaj Parikshit became angry and envious at the sage by the will of the Lord. Right? By the will of the Lord, again. The king was right to punish his subject for coldly receiving him or neglecting him. But because the culprit was a sage and a brahmana, it was unprecedented, as the Lord is never envious of anyone. So also the Lord's devotee is never envious of anyone. The only justification for Maharaj Parikshit's behavior is that it was ordained by the Lord. The only justification for Parikshit's behavior was that it was ordained by the Lord. The king thus treated the sage tit for tat, although he was never accustomed to such silly actions. By the will of the Lord, the king, while going away, found a dead snake in front of him, and he thought that the sage who had coldly received him thus might be coldly rewarded by being offered a garland of a dead snake. In the ordinary course of dealing, this was not very unnatural, right? Most people are petty and envious. But in the case of Maharaj Pariksit, dealing with a Brahmana sage, this was certainly unprecedented. It so happened by the will of the Lord. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, the plan was made by the will of the Lord, and by the will of the Lord, the situation of frustration was created. The plan was that for his so-called misdeed, the king could be cursed by an inexperienced Brahmana boy infected by the influence of Kali, and thus the king would leave his hearth and home for good. His connection with Srila Shukadeva Goswami would enable the presentation of the great Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So there was a higher purpose to Krishna's desire and Krishna Leela, some special arrangement by the Lord. So another aspect of this Leela was that Krishna wants to establish the glories of a devotee. Right? So in the case of Maharaj Pariksit, he wanted to establish the glories of Shukadeva Goswami, speaking the Bhagavatam, and in the case of here of Maharaj Yudhishthira, he wanted to establish the glories of Bhishma Dev. And Prabhupada says, this is all due to the arrangement of the great wheel carrier, Lord Sri Krishna, who establishes the glories of his devotee. The father likes to see the son become more famous than himself. The Lord declares very emphatically, the worship of his devotee is more valuable than the worship of the Lord himself. Right? The Lord declares that the worship of his devotee is more valuable than the worship of the Lord himself. So then here, we'll hear some of the topics that Bhishma Deva instructs to Yudhishthira in the next chapter. Being afraid of having killed so many subjects on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhishthira went to the scene of the massacre. There, Bhishma Deva was lying on a bed of arrows about to pass away. So then we'll hear how Bhishma Deva is actually the one to console Yudhishthira. So Bhishma Deva says to Yudhishthira, O best among the descendants of Bharat, maintain, therefore, that all this is within the plan of the Lord. Accepting the inconceivable plan of the Lord, you must follow it. You are now the appointed administrative head, and, my Lord, you should now take care of those subjects who are now rendered helpless. And then we'll hear some other topics that Bhishma Deva will instruct Yudhishthira with. And also another thing that Krishna wanted to bring forward through this Leela was that Bhishma Deva would be glorified and he would impart all these instructions in the company of all the, Prabhupada says, all the society elites. I like that. The society elites of the time who were sages and munis and rishis, or all the big names, would be there and they would also witness the instructions imparted by Bhishma Dev, and therefore Bhishma Dev would be extremely glorified. So we'll hear in the next chapter some of the topics that glorious grandfather Bhishma Dev will impart. Just to mention a few, but we'll get to them soon. Bhishma Dev will speak of the terrible sufferings of Yudhishthira and the Pandavas. And he'll say how they were put into injustice, and Kurukshetra had to be fought to rectify this injustice. Therefore, Yudhishthira should not regret the great massacre. He wanted to point out that particularly they were all protected, they were always protected by the Brahmanas, the Lord, and religious principles. As long as they were protected by these three important items, there was no cause for disappointment. And then Bhishma Dev will further talk about how Kala, or time, represents the inexplicable wish of Krishna in establishing a kingdom of virtue. The Pandavas suffered so many practical reverses, which can only be explained as due to the influence of Kala, inevitable time. Kala is identical with the Lord himself, and therefore the influence of Kala indicates the inexplicable wish of the Lord. There's nothing to be lamented when a matter is beyond the control of any human being. The sufferings of Pandavas were never due to their past misdeeds. The Lord had to execute the plan of establishing a kingdom of virtue. Right? That was Krishna's plan, established a kingdom of virtue. And therefore, his own devotees had to suffer temporarily in order to establish the conquest of virtue. So then Vishwadeva will also speak to Yudhishthira about occupational duties, principles of religion, detachment, attachment, and then finally, Yudhishthira and Krishna and all the society elites, rishis, munis, and sages will witness the glorious passing away of Bhishmadev on a bed of arrows, and Bhishmadev will, of course, be liberated from material existence. So this was the greater lila that was taking place here in this shloka today, where Yudhishthira seems to be, you know, seemingly is mortified and is acting like a common man about the massacre of the Battle of Kurukshetra, and he wants to take the responsibility on himself. But here we see how there's a greater lila that is taking place. And just finish with the Bhagavad Gita shloka in regards to this lila. In Bhagavad Gita 3:21, whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by the exemplary acts, all the world pursues, right? So whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. Whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So we can see that this was also happening here in this lila. And then Prabhupada says, people in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. One who teaches in this way is called, what is he called? One who teaches by practical behavior and example, what is he called? Acharya, or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher or an acharya must follow the principles of Shastra to teach the common man. Okay. We'll finish there, and I'll see if there's any comments or questions. And also, I wanted to put forward like this discussion topic about acharya. What is the benefit of having an acharya? So we can talk about that, or you can bring up your own topic or question for the clarification. Yes. First of all.
I was appreciating how you were emphasizing this idea of lila and how this had all been arranged by Krishna. It comes up so often in the scriptures, you know, that, like Vritasura too, where he was laughing at Parvati and Shiva, and then he was cursed. And it's interesting that Prabhupada says in his case and in Maharaj Prakrit that they had the spiritual power to be able to counteract the curse.
Thank you, yes.
But they didn't. They didn't do it. And they just let that plan of the Lord take place. And I thought, you know, even in our own little lives, you know, it's not like great lila, but still, so many times things will happen in our lives that we question, like, well, why is this happening?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's hard to understand.
And it may be, like, painful.
Yeah, in hindsight, you know, we say hindsight's 20/20, like sometimes years down the line, you look and you go, oh.
Absolutely.
That's why this had to happen. So just to be able to have that faith, like with Prabhupada, he transferred the Bhagavad Gita, and then the whole manuscript was lost, you know? It started over again.
Thank you, yeah.
And you would think, why did that have to happen, you know?
That's a really, really nice point. I appreciate that. Thank you
thank
so
you
much.
Madhumati,
Prabhu?
I was thinking that how you're mentioning about Krishna glorifying through his lila a devotee. Now, if you look at Bhishmadev's life, you look at Yudhishthira Maharaj's life, you look at Maharaj Parikshit, all these people you have mentioned, and they all have done things, so to speak, made mistakes. And it's almost like one way to see it is that it's fine. We make mistakes, although in their case, there's Krishna's arrangement. But you look at their lives, they've all made mistakes.
Hmm. That's a nice point.
And Krishna is glorifying. I mean, Bhishma Dev's life, he has taken the wrong side, so to speak. Maharaj Parikshit has made mistake. Yudhishthira Maharaj, you see his whole in the gambling match, and otherwise now he is in. But that doesn't seem like that's the important point, because these devotees are glorious. And it's almost like, look at that, they're mistakes. It's not the end of the world. It's almost like he uses those mistakes and then glorify them. So that's
Thank
one
you.
Thought that I thought.
That's a nice point. To bring it to our lives, certainly we've all made mistakes. You know, even in our devotional life, and we've acted like common persons, I'm sure all of us have at some point. And we look back and we're like, wow, I can't believe I did that. You know, I can't believe I, you know. But I think if we truly repent our mistakes, right? And if we truly, you know, we apologize and we also repent and we vow to do differently and we vow to like look within ourselves and change like that. If there's a specific anartha that like made us to do that, you know, we like make a sincere endeavor to change ourselves. You know, I think that that's is pleasing to Krishna. You know, and it's not that we make mistakes willingly or intentionally, and then we're saying, well, you know, Krishna's very, very merciful, so, you know, I'm good. No, like, we genuinely have to repent, and we look at our mistakes, and see maybe we've, like, hurt people, and, you know, and try to rectify it, and also try to correct ourselves, you know, in that regard. You know, I think that is how we can overcome those mistakes and weaknesses within ourselves. Any other questions?
There are a couple in the bottom of YouTube.
Arjuna became overwhelmed with illusion because Krishna wanted to speak the Bhagavad Gita. Right, thank you. That is another example of a glorious devotee acting like a common man and becoming illusioned. Which one? Oh, these are all of them. Okay. So when reading Bhagavatam, Varuna Prabhu, he's vaguely familiar to us. So when reading Srimad Bhagavatam, which one should we consider, the pastime or the hidden meaning and behind the pastime? I mean both, right? We should consider like the whole thing. I mean, that's why we have classes on the Bhagavatam every single day, because there's so much to consider and so much to think about, right? So both the Leela and what's all the angles. We should consider all the angles. Okay, like Parikshit Maharaj, did he offend, or is it a so-called offense? It's a so-called offense. Yeah? It was Leela. Please, another person, Dina Dwarkalila Devi Dasi, please share the quote once more about an ideal teacher. Beautiful class. Thank you. Okay, the quote about the ideal teacher. Okay, I think that was... Okay, well, I'll just read the whole thing about the ideal teacher. It's just a paragraph. The Lord teaches the world by teaching the devotee. The devotee does not have to learn anything new from the Lord because the Lord teaches the sincere devotee always from within. Right? So the Lord doesn't have to, the devotee doesn't have to learn, and the exalted devotee doesn't need to be instructed, so to speak. Right? So whenever, and I don't think I read this quote before, but I'll just add it now to the Acharya quote. Whenever, therefore, a show is made to teach the devotee, as in the case of teaching the Bhagavad Gita or the Bhagavatam, it is for teaching the less intelligent men. Right? So whenever there's a show to teach the devotee, for example, of Bhishma Dev seemingly teaching Yudhishthira or of Krishna teaching Arjuna, as in the case of Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, or Shukadeva teaching Maharaj Parikshit, it is for teaching less intelligent men. And then the Acharya quote, I reference Bhagavad Gita 3:21, whatever action a great man performs, the common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So exemplary acts, that was the definition of an Acharya. And Prabhupada says, people in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior, right? A leader who teaches the public by practical behavior. One who teaches in this way is called an acharya, or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of shastras to teach the common man.
Can you explain to me what is lila versus ordinary activity? We are using the word lila.
Thank you. So here I'm seemingly instructing you, although you know the answer. So here's lila, thank you. Yeah, what is the difference between a lila and ordinary activity? A lila is something that the Lord desires, right? Well, as we heard in this case, and desire of the Lord, and using the spiritual potency, the Lord brings it about, right? And it's for setting some example, to teaching the common man. That is lila. It involves Krishna's arrangement, spiritual energy, right? And versus ordinary actions, it's just the opposite. I guess it's just the opposite of a lila, you know, it's just a fact.
Krishna's desire.
Krishna's desire, yeah.
And then
the
second one?
He influences, okay, it's Krishna's desire, he influences the heart of devotees to make it happen, to make some lila come about. So Krishna influences their heart, a super soul, as we were hearing in the class. And Prabhupada had said that.
It's okay.
So Krishna influences the heart of a devotee to, you know, make him act a certain way, to bring about this greater lila. So versus a common behavior is just, I guess, a fallible, you know, buddha conditioned soul, buddha jiva, acting in a fallible way, you know, making mistakes and trying to rectify himself. So that is what I would say is the difference. Would you like to add something to that?
Who killed his father, actually, Abhimanyu. He was in that buho, the plan to kill Abhimanyu. But then he was at the birthplace of King Parikshit, and he made the birth chart, and there are 17 things, and one of them is that Bhagavatam and many years, he will be killed, curse. And so all things are already written. So how it's written? Because Krishna's desire, that's how it's written.
Nice, thank you.
It is really, it's not easy. I ask myself, would I do that to go down in the history as a bad guy,
Yeah, I was actually going to make that point, how it's very painful, like, for this Leela to come about, and all the sufferings that the Pandavas had to go through, and all the men that had to be killed, 640 million men had to be killed at Kurukshetra. I mean, it's not easy. It's almost, we cannot fathom it, really, like...
But externally, we have to look at also, like, externally it is painful, but internally it was not painful. Because Prabhupada writes, I mean, we'll see in a few weeks, that Vishnudev shooting arrows like a love bite. Now, love bite is not a pain, but there is a, I guess, death soul, I don't know what it is. I have some idea what love bite is. But my point is that the blood was coming out from Krishna's body, and the battle was such a wonderful between Krishna and Vishnudev that it missed Krishna, because that's what he wanted. Adipuram says that I found the faith. So internally they were relishing the relationship. Externally it appears like a very thin.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That's a nice point. We can sort of, or for me, I can sort of take comfort in that. Like, okay, it seems extremely painful, but internally there's like relishment and...
Otherwise, if you look at it, when Krishna left, the whole world is now Buddhistic monarchies. But they didn't want it. They left because they had in separation from Krishna. They don't care about the comfort of living. But they got it. Our whole world is under them, no enemy. Everybody's killed. But did they enjoy that? No. They want Krishna's association, Krishna's service. So
yes,
it's
thank
internal,
you.
Unless it's like a Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, you cannot explain to someone how you are tasting within, because tasting machine is inside. You can explain about ice cream to someone, but if they never tasted it, they will put some idea of ice cream. Okay, it's a milk. But it will never be experienced.
Thank you. Yes, there's you're adding like another layer to the whole Leela. Thank you, like a very high level layer. And you know, but with what you're saying is like there's teaching of the common men. There's something that has to be taught for the common people.
Yeah.
So it's like many layers of the Leela.
Yes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually, there's a quote actually, now I remember. He said, Tumara sevai dukkhai jato seo parama sukh. Seva sukha dukkha parama sampada nasai avidya dukkha. In your service, even the greatest misery is like the greatest delight in my heart. Because this is the experience they feel. But a common man will never understand that, how it is actually pleasing them. Otherwise, what impetus made them go on? Definitely, that verse says it. Parama sukh, not only sukh, not happiness, extreme happiness.
Thank
but
you.
Of course, those are not experiencing their big life.
Thank you. That's, yeah, just another aspect to relish and think about. Thank you so much.
I wanted to also, it's not relevant, but say about can you imagine the scenery of the battlefield? The smell. But then I found the Prabhupada's quote from the 10th canto, 12th chapter on Putana's body. When Putana's body, it's a 12 miles body is a big body.
Okay.
In a long body of Putana, 12 miles, I don't know how far, how big is that from here to Gainesville.
12 miles?
Yeah, it's a big body of a big witch. And not only that, there's a fragrance, Prabhupada translates.
Actually, I can read you exactly what Prabhupada says. It's really interesting.
Prabhupada writes, this is 10.6.41. Upon smelling the fragrance of the smoke emanating from Putana's burning body, many inhabitants of Brajabhumi in distant places were astonished. Where is this fragrance coming from? They asked. Thus they went to the spot where Putana's body was being burnt. So it was not a bad odor like we think of a dead body. I mean, I have an idea about dead body burning because I went a few times in India. But in the West, they don't know, because cremation is like everything closed. Nobody knows. But Putana's case, because Krishna in contact. So I'm just assuming, is there any reference that, because I'm seeing the other side is more positive, where Prabhupada writes that all those 640 million people got liberated, minimum.
Nice. Right.
So that means they came in, and then Prabhupada writes even further in Nectar Devotion that what was the need for Krishna to dress so beautiful in the battlefield? I mean, nobody goes to battlefield with a beautiful, you know, dress. But Prabhupada writes
that they did actually, in like when I was quoting like Napoleon.
Yeah.
When Napoleon said it's so beautiful in the beginning, they were like
it was very
you know, elegant and dignified.
Mm-hmm. So I was thinking like, and then Prabhupada also gives in 3.2.6 in Bhagavatam that where in the battlefield, in the purport Prabhupada writes, I'm paraphrasing, those who were in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, those who appreciated Krishna's beauty, they got immediately entrance to Vaikuntha. Mm. Those who did not appreciate, still they got liberation. So I'm just throwing this question. I haven't found any reference. So those body who died, that body is not just a Kormi's body dying. We cannot think of like a bad smell.
Yeah, that's a nice point.
Because their
like
body
went,
dissolved by the
hell.
Sudarshan Chakra.
Yeah. Thank you. That's a nice point. I mean, it does say in the chapter that Maharaj Yudhishthira was mortified.
There's when
he says that Maharaj Yudhishthira was mortified when he saw the massacre. He was mortified. So
yeah,
that's really the only thing we're going by, that he was mortified. But yeah, obviously there must be something more to it, since it was Krishna's arrangement and they did achieve, you know, the spiritual world. So it may not have been as bad as like the Civil War aftermath or something like that. Thank you. Okay, so
two more comments.
It appears that everyone benefited from hearing from Grandfather Bhishma on the battlefield. So did they all understand that it was all Krishna Leela? Did they understand? I mean, I don't know. I would imagine that they had some idea, because like it said, they were all like society elites that were assembled there when Bhishma Dev was dying. They were elites of that Vedic society, which were all the top sages and munis and rishis. So I would imagine that they had some idea that it wasn't ordinary. Right? Hare Krishna, it is painful that 640 million men died at Kurukshetra, but they actually all went back to Godhead because they died in Lord Krishna's presence. Yes.
It's not painful, really. It was great.
Yes.
I would love to go. Just get
to Yes. Yes, they all got liberated. So the fact that Yudhishthira was, lamenting. We just overturned his lamentation by so many points, right? He was lamenting and he was mortified, but we just overturned all of his lamentation. Okay. A rascal.
One, two.
Is it a rascal may not be aware of that? A rascal may not be aware of the offense you mention, of doing some sinful activity, but then thinking, I am a devotee, Krishna will forgive. This may not be aware of the offense. A sincere devotee who struggles to get control of his mind also may have this difficulty. But his complaint is different. Krishna, I don't like what I do, but the mind is so strong. Please help me control my mind. He does not intentionally, but he feels weak and in control of his strong mind. Yeah, that is a nice distinction. Yeah. Is there hope for the rascal previously mentioned? Is there hope for the sincere devotee helplessly controlled by his mind? Oh, so that's like a whole other class now. Okay, the rascal previously mentioned. A rascal may not be aware of the offense you mention of doing some sinful activity, but he's thinking, I'm a devotee, Krishna will forgive. Yeah, that is a very, that's not a good mentality. I am sinful, I'm a devotee, Krishna will forgive. Those actually, you're actually, this is not a devotee, right? And it's one of the 10 aparads against the holy name, right? Which is number 7, which is like 1 and 7 are the two biggest ones, right? 7 is committing offenses on the strength of chanting the holy name. So this is that, you know. I'm a devotee and Krishna will forgive. That is offensive, so it's not at all recommended. Is there hope for the rascal previously mentioned? Is there hope for him? I don't know. If he can correct his aparad, you know. To commit aparad 1 and aparad 7 is very, very bad, and it's very difficult to get out of. So if he eventually repents himself and, you know, if Krishna forgives the aparad over time, then maybe there's hope for him. Is there hope for the sincere devotee helplessly controlled by his mind? Yeah, that's a nice distinction. I think so, you know. I think the mind is very strong. But if the devotee acknowledges the mind, but he continues to engage in devotional service and he continues to, you know, seek the blessings and the mercy of the devotees and the Vaishnavas, and he tries to correct his behavior, right? There has to be some endeavor to correct. Then yeah, there's definitely hope for the second category. Do you have anything to say about that? Thank you. That's an intention in the heart. Is that what matters?
Yeah.
Thank you. Grantarat, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.